Is it recording?
Yeah. Every time? We still know how to do this.
Do we?
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't heard from... Well, you've heard from us earlier this week.
No, you didn't.
Oh, we're just coming out today? There's no Monday episode?
Hello.
Hello, hello.
My name is Mauro.
And I'm Dan.
And it is Friday, April 9th. If you don't know anything about that date...
Oh, we're on video too. I forgot.
Yeah, it is my birthday.
Happy birthday. Oh, we should have had a birthday hat for you.
27 years old. I put one on.
Digitally. There it is.
Yeah, it's my birthday, but that's not why we came back after 150, 60 something days.
Is that how many days it's been?
Yeah. October 29th, I think.
Yeah.
We're back.
The end of spooky season.
With a new segment.
Called?
Cool Animal People.
Bing!
Cool Animal People.
New logo.
Where we talk to amazing animal people who are also cool.
Thank you for that apt description, Mauro.
And I mean, we don't need a description, but today we have a very, very, very special guest.
I think like
one of the most amazing people I've ever had a conversation with. One of the nicest human beings on the planet.
Before we name him, even though the name is in
it's in the description.
The title,
if you can read your
let's rattle off some of the things on this man's resume.
Okay, go ahead.
Two-time New York Times best-selling author.
I'll put the books here.
Star and executive producer of Animal Planet's long-running hit TV show, My Cat from Hell. And
an amazing human being that does just charitable work for the welfare of animals.
And he's definitely made an incredible impact, I think, on educating people.
Yeah, and we talk about that on the episode. Oh, by the way, we're talking to Jackson Galaxy, aka the Cat Daddy.
Cat Daddy is right.
Yeah.
Because this man knows his stuff.
I also think he's the most recognizable face in the cat world. Am I wrong?
Yeah. You
know, he's like the Caesar Milan of cats.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing for me was really like, I knew of him. And I knew of My Cat from Hell. And I hadn't seen too many episodes and, you know, in doing research for this.
Not just a show, man. It's like he's an amazing human being.
The amount of information that he imparts on people, I was like, oh, I'm cat stupid. And we talk about that in the episode.
We learned a lot. Honestly, like I say in the episode, do a quick Google search on Jackson Galaxy. He knows his stuff. He's been at it for 25 years and more. I think
since
like
93.
Close to 30.
28 years.
Yeah. And he's worked with shelters. He's worked with, you know, nonprofits. He's worked with
everybody,
everyone. He's a New York native. He's out West now, but it's just, he has such a long track record of helping people and helping animals that it was such an honor to talk to him.
Speaking of helping people, before we start the episode, I'm just going to, you know, go right into it.
Okay.
Jackson has an incredible event going on tomorrow called Cat Camp.
Cat Camp.
Go to catcamp.com, click the links in the description or wherever we put them. They are doing some amazing work.
It's basically a virtual event for cat lovers everywhere. You know, it used to be in person. It used to be like the sort of conference thing where they do amazing games, giveaways. They have cats up for adoption. They moved that to online since last year because of COVID, and they had great success. And it's happening tomorrow, April 10th, I think they start at 11. Is it 11 Pacific time or something like that?
1 p.m.
1 p.m.
Eastern Standard Time.
So 10 a.m. Pacific time. And it's free. All you have to do is go to the website, register, because they have some exclusive events for people that are registered. But it's free. You get to see cat lovers. You get to be with people who love animals online. And we all need that right now. So without further ado, let's go to the conversation with Jackson Galaxy.
Jackson Galaxy, everybody.
The Cat Daddy. So here we go. If you haven't heard of Jackson Galaxy, before we introduce him, I already said his name.
Okay.
I want you to do a quick Google search on YouTube.
During the podcast?
Or whatever.
Just
whenever
hit pause.
You have time. Just hit pause. We'll be here. Don't worry about it. That's Jackson that just laughed, by the way. He's listening in. Do a little quick search and just learn from him everything he has to say, and hopefully you learn something from this podcast. But without further ado, the Cat Daddy himself, Jackson Galaxy is joining us in the podcast today. Jackson, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for the very embarrassing introduction.
We spent a lot of time researching you, so we did a deep dive on you.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you.
And there's a lot to talk about, but we're going to focus on a few things. First of all, do you like cats?
I like animals. I think that at the end of the day, cats picked me. So I just
usually how it goes.
Along. Yeah. Yeah. I was a shelter worker and really the cats just gravitated towards me and I was like, yeah, good. I'm in, you know?
Was it planned?
Yeah.
Or did it kind of like it just snowballed?
At the very beginning, I dove in, tried to figure out everything I could about them, spent a ton of time with them because, like I said, there was just something about, I don't know, we just had a thing. And the fact is, we were killing many, many more millions of animals back then than we are now. And in that shelter as well, just many cats especially. And as I realized that there was, that I could bring something to the game where just doing very small behavioral changes would mean the difference between adoption and dying. So that was it. That was all. It was really
right,
that.
Such a simple
and
step.
Then, yeah. And then I found out that the stuff I knew was beneficial to other shelter people as well as the people in my community. And then it just grew from there. And then, I mean, I was a musician for most of my adult life and a songwriter. And that was my goal in life. It wasn't this, but you know, looking a gift horse in the mouth or a gift cat in the mouth, you know, it just did what it wanted to do.
It's funny how those things kind of work out. Like I went into undergrad pre-med and here I am running a pet care business. So, you know,
it just, the beautiful thing is, and I wrote about this in my first book. It's funny. My first book was a memoir because I wanted to get all of the skeletons out of the closet before somebody else was like, oh my God. But my history with addiction is very well written about. So it's to me just part of my story. And I am absolutely convinced that shift from my musical life to the animal life, if that switch hadn't have happened, I would have been dead 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
Wow.
I was just, that's where I was going. That was the life I was leading. And animals saved me then and they saved me now. So I'm grateful. Yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, it's, you know, especially with addiction recovery, having that switch, that pivot moment, you know,
and finding that purpose, you know, it's such a pivotal, like, step.
And knowing that for me, it was really simply about the fact that, you know, they were depending on me.
Yeah. And it forces you to like shift
animals,
your focus.
And animals don't take crap. You know what I'm saying? If you come to an interaction with an animal in any way altered or fronting or anything, they know, man. And so it was that moment of whatever I wasn't willing to change for people around me, I found myself more willing to change for the animals that I worked with.
And you were good at it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it adds
there
to
was
it.
That. I was getting results and one of the most gratifying things to this day is, you know, when others have that light bulb moment, and it wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
It was just switching their perspective a little bit. And suddenly the relationship is different between them and their cats. And that's always been like, it's been 30 years almost. And
wow.
I still get the same kick that I ever got. You know?
So speaking of that kick, so I was watching a few more episodes this morning. And do you remember a cat named Little?
Yes.
So
who was Little?
He was a
remind me
gray domestic short hair, and I think the issue the wife would have to get into motorcycle gear to be able to handle him.
yeah.
So at the end of it though, The husband was talking to you, and they, you know, they were shooting their, you know, your off the screen shot, and you started talking about it, and you got, you know, choked up. And I'm on the treadmill, and I'm finding myself crying because it's, yeah. You know, I've done like some animal rescue work, but like doing something with this when it comes to changing the behavior, I actually pride myself on having a good set of knowledge when it comes to animals. I was like, oh my God, I'm cat stupid. After we started watching your show, I was like, there's so much stuff I don't know, but it is such an impactful thing because, you know, as somebody who loves animals, like I couldn't imagine the idea of ever having to give one of my pets up. Like, you know, I just couldn't process it. Being able to give that gift to people, that's a big deal. And like, you can, like Mauro and I were talking about this before. You can, there's people out there who are in our space and they're, you know, maybe not the most genuine people. You really care. Like, you can tell that it's not like, you know, a scripted thing. Like, and it's really beautiful to see somebody who is so passionate and cares that much. And, you know, I just want to let you know you made me cry this morning.
Yeah, have it translated to the screen too.
I'm glad to make you cry. Somebody at one point said to me, like, hey, you know, we there's a Jackson Galaxy drinking game. We watch your show. If you bleed, you drink. If you cry, you drink. If you bleed and cry, then we chug.
So you get wasted every
episode.
That
sounds like a very dangerous game.
Pretty much, man. Pretty much. Because there's a pretty good chance that I'm going to do one or the other. I honestly, I am a very emotional person. In times like that, it's the change in relationship. It's not the change in the cat, and it's not the change in the human. It's the change where suddenly they realize that I'm in a relationship.
Yeah.
And this is not about a piece of furniture, because the thing that really gets me, and I think this is because of my, I never left the shelter, you know, I still work very closely with shelters, and to know that in many places like California, the cat goes into a shelter, there was about a 75-80% chance that they wouldn't come out alive. And I mean, we've been changing that over time, but to know that in those moments, a door opened for them, not just for their relationship with that cat, but just their relationship to animals, and just that switch. And this is why I call people guardians and not owners. It's just, know that there is a difference in the quality of your life when you invite them in, you know, more so than you are. So that makes me cry all the time.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a beautiful thing.
It's a powerful thing because you're not correcting the animal. You know, you are giving the guardians the tools necessary to improve that relationship. You know, you're not going to a house, okay, here's the cat, and boom, he or she is corrected, and you're leaving. No, you're setting them up for success in the future so they can have a better relationship with them. I think that's super powerful.
And honestly, once you start to have that change of perspective, even though we can, quote unquote, correct dogs more than we could ever do with cats to begin with, the idea of just giving the tools of correction or the tools of even if it's guidance, so even if it's obedience, without having something behind it that is the energy of relationship, I think is not fair to them, you know? Right. And so it makes me a sucker with my dogs. guys run roughshod all over me, you know, but I'm happy to be the playmate with those guys. It's been, when we first started the show, the network and I had long talks about the fact that, for instance, I would say guardian, or I would never discipline, or I would get angry, there were certain episodes where I said, yeah, you should rehome this cat.
You shouldn't
be with this cat. You know, they deserve better.
It wasn't a good fit. Yeah.
There was another episode we were watching where I saw you.
Bear
was one of the first episodes.
I think it was one of the first episodes.
But you could see your face. You're just like, what is this guy doing? Like your eyes were just huge. And I like, even I was like, what is he going to do?
But don't forget. So those first episodes, our first quasi season was 3 episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
So with every one of those cases, with every one of those episodes, it was like do or die for me.
Yeah.
Because if I fail, if I'm not some sort of cat magician here, I don't get to make TV anymore. So Bear was, in fact, Bear was the very first one. And
yeah, that's what I think it was the first episode.
It was, yeah.
And when I walked in there and I saw what he was doing, and after he kicked my ass, I mean, it was just one of those like, oh, I don't think this is going to work.
You know? Wait, did you just go into it cold? Was that like one of the first cats that you just, oh my God.
I mean, I was always involved in casting. And it wasn't until about the third season that I became an executive producer and took more control. But in those early days, and even in the later days, I tried to know just enough so that I could still go in and have an authentic experience, you know, and not have a preconceived notion about what I was going to do. It's hard to avoid.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody says, my cat is doing X, Y, Z, I go, oh, well, I know.
Here's
this is what you do.
Yeah.
5 minutes, cut to commercial, we're done.
You know, and I mean, honestly, there was some, and there was another that one of those episodes, the third one, there was a cat named, oh my God, Minibar. It was a cat named Minibar.
That's a great name.
And well, you know what's funny? Because they already had a cat named Fubar, and this was a kitten, so they named her Minibar.
That's really
but cute. She was completely feral.
Yeah.
And they had been suckered by a rescue org who were like, no, she's just shy.
Oh my God.
Totally feral, geez. Man. So the entire episode was me trying to domesticate this, you know, 6-month-old cat, which is very hard.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And also these guys lived in a huge loft in downtown LA. And so she had a ton of places to disappear to.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was a lot of hide and go seek there, I'm sure.
I camped out in that house. Those guys went on vacation and I lived in their apartment for about a week and a half.
Oh, wow.
Working my day job, then going over there and sleeping there just to get Minibar to just trust me for a second so that the end of the show I could demonstrate something.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was a very stressful bunch of months there. But
I could only imagine like in the beginning where it's like, yeah, you know, your future of the show relies on like, I got to make this happen.
3 episodes, man. And we got no support from the network. We got, I mean, it was basically word of mouth through the cat bloggers and the animal bloggers I knew already in the rescue community. And that we created an audience because there had never been a cat show on TV before.
Yeah. Exactly. It's funny because I was watching some episodes in preparation and my girlfriend who loves cats, her entire life she's had cats. We have a cat of our own now, Kevin Linguini. I press play and like 2 minutes in after the intro, she came running from the other room and she's like, what is this show? I'm like, it's My Cat from Hell. That's Jack and Galaxy. It's like, oh my God. She sat down and watched all the episodes in preparation that I did. So
that's
you
great,
have
man.
Yourself a new fan just out of nowhere.
You know, I mean, I'm psyched. I mean, we're still working on new shows. And I mean, My Cat ran its course and I'm happy about that.
Yeah, 11 seasons, right?
Yeah.
That's
over 100 episodes.
That's pretty good.
No, I mean, not for 1 second do I take that for granted. I mean, we were 1000% the little engine that could. Nobody, including the network, ever expected us to do anything. And
it's not even just a commercial success. It's just like the lives you've changed, you know, both for the pets and for the gardens.
I got to say, and of course I've traveled all over the States and done a lot of different shows, but we've done tours of Asia and Australia and New Zealand and South America. And everyone's the same.
Yeah,
I mean, there is more that binds us together as a community globally than tears us apart. And that's something that, especially these days, I think is a really important thing to remember.
Yeah.
And that was something that was just gifted to me by a show that is broadcast in probably, I would say, about 85% of the entire globe, you know, so it's something that's a really, really precious thing to me. Gives me a lot of faith, especially these days.
In terms of like impact for you, who would you say was the cat that really left like the biggest impression on you throughout? I'm sure there's probably hundreds.
Yeah,
but there's like, a lot of cats. And I got two. I mean, right. One is we had to go up to Portland for a cat named Lux, who was they call him the 911 cat because we had just finished filming the season, and the next day it was something on Inside Edition or whatever that they had, you know, the phone call to 911 of this family locked in a bathroom while their cat is, and you could hear the cat throwing himself at the door.
That's the plot to Pet Sematary.
And they totally called 911.
Wow.
And the story took off, and within 2 days I was up there. And Lux was his name, and is still his name. And you got to remember, I was already completely exhausted. We had filmed 6 straight months. I had been away from home for 4 months.
Wow.
I was exhausted. And 2 days later, you know, because you know how you prep yourself and you're just like, I'm at the finish line.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're done. Another mile. Just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but he was a dangerous cat. He was in the wrong home. I mean, it just was not right. I had to get him out of there. Then I had to find him a foster home.
Wow.
And they fell in love with him. And then he sent them to the hospital twice and back and forth and back and forth and went back and forth for about 5 months. And even though we had sort of a happy ending on the show, you know, it didn't end that way. Yeah. And so he finally, you know, I finally realized that he didn't belong with a family.
Right.
So thankfully, Best Friends Animal Sanctuary, I called in a few cards over there and they took him, and he's had a really happy life. Actually just got adopted after about 4 years by one of his handlers up there. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, no, it makes me incredibly, I loved him, and he would have wound up here, I think, if I ran out of options. My wife, who is that kind of person, was like, hell, bring him here, you know.
Yeah.
Let him kick our asses, you know. And the second thing I gotta say, even though I've had so many wonderful personal experiences cat on cat, after many years of trying to convince the network to do this episode, our last episode was in Philadelphia, and it was our big hour-long feral cat episode, where I go to Philly, meeting up with friends of mine in the TNR community, in the feral community, and we do this wonderful thing where we have a big sort of community engagement fair. We try to get kids and adults to help out, raise consciousness, and then we would go out there and do a lot of trapping and show the world, this is how we take care of community cats. And I'll never forget the day. And it was just and you'd have to watch the episode. It was a lot of story to it. But at the very end, we went back out to where these cats, we needed to release them back into their colony. And at that point, I think there was 12 of them, 12 cages, 12 volunteers, including an 8-year-old girl who was just the most amazing kid. And then in that moment that we opened up those traps and let those cats run back, it all came flooding to me how we had to fight so hard for this episode. We had to fight so hard to convince the network, the production company, the public that, yeah, the end of this episode is not a cat cuddling in your lap. The end of this episode are cats running back outside, you know, to this building, you know, and that's okay. And I'm so glad that that was the last statement that we could make with my cat.
Raising awareness that it's not just about go to a shelter, adopt a cat, bring it home.
Exactly. You know? It's not just about the cats in your home.
Yeah.
Your love for cats should extend to the ones. It's just a wall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got my cat, 7 cats in this house. I've got 4 outside my home right there that we feed every night, we care for, we take to the vet, we care for them on their terms, but we still love them. That if we can create that symbiotic relationship nationwide, we are going to have a better outcome for millions, millions of cats.
Yeah, some people don't understand that, you know, the feral cat community needs that sort of care from people that understand what kind of care they need. You know, it's not,
and not
about
just
your
that,
cat cuddling in bed with you. It, you know, they're living their own life out
there.
Yeah,
there are other cats just kind of doing their thing out there.
They're doing their thing. And all we can do for them is control their population.
Exactly.
Care for them if they're injured. Feed them, spay and neuter them, man, because, I mean, that's something that I think people don't realize. But I think it's not just showing care for the animals out there. It's showing care for the people who care for them, because there's not enough.
Yeah.
And they burn out. Same with shelter folk. They burn out. And we need a new generation of committed people. And that's why that 8-year-old made me cry. Because know that we were in good hands.
And that she understood,
she got it, man, and she was happy about it.
Exactly,
she wasn't all dour about it.
She wasn't sad about, you know, not being able to bring one of those home. She understood what you were doing.
She absolutely understood it, and to know that that's the direction we're heading is you know, people like me who have spent entirely too much time in animal welfare. Just want to know that if we let go, that somebody else will pick up. And exactly. I think we're definitely in that place right now.
Oh, for sure. There's tons of people out there doing great, like trap and release work and things like that. It's actually right down the, so we're here Brooklyn, and right down the block from us, there is somebody who basically she feeds and takes care of this cat colony, and there's construction sites all around them. But like but it's beautiful.
They have their little place.
It's the whole community here in Greenpoint is so respectful of the cats. They do amazing work. Like, we have clients out in Long Island who, you remember, I don't want to say his name, but we would take care of in his home. He would bring him in, get them all spayed, and get them kind of acclimated to being around people, and try to either adopt them out.
Dozens of cats inside his home.
And then he would feed like all, Moro and I used to drive around sometime, like 1 a.m. feeding
the
cats.
He had 3 spots all over town where he would feed the feral cats.
Yeah.
And those feral cats knew exactly when the food was coming.
Oh, yeah.
It was,
I mean,
scheduled.
I got to tell you. Yeah, and you know, I'm a New Yorker. I don't know if you know that. But, Manhattan is real
Manhattan,
New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think some of the biggest sort of gains we've seen have been in Brooklyn. I mean, one of my favorite organizations, Flatbush Cats, is have done amazing in terms of raising consciousness, both on social media and in real life.
Yeah.
And I think my friend Sassy works out at Greenpoint. But anyway, another episode that we did of the show that was just so amazing was we were out in Staten Island, and we got, it was this father and son, and they just didn't have the info. And these poor guys, man, they were doing their best, but they were frozen kittens outside. Oh, I mean, literally dead and frozen out on the streets. And they're trying to figure out. So by the time we were done with them, and all I did was, I mean, I at that point, I was more of a facilitator, just hooking them up with people the Feral Cat Coalition really helped out, as did more of our friends. And the son wound up getting accredited as a TNR instructor and trapper.
Oh, that's amazing.
He now goes all over the city in Staten Island, specifically educating people on TNR. So it's, man. It doesn't,
like you said,
like
it's
I said,
that next
it
generation.
Doesn't take much.
Yeah,
it's the next exactly. Generation. But and the bottom line is, I think that we can tend towards being a little cynical in the welfare world. And I have always been an optimist. I mean, that's, people get sick of it with me. I know that things, and don't forget, like when I first started, I first took my job in the shelter in 93, I think. And the stats that year, I think we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 million dogs and cats being killed in the shelters. And we are finally down under a million. I mean, we're down at around 800,000, which is ridiculous.
That's
the amount
incredible.
Of time to change the consciousness of this entire country to the point where people know to spay and neuter, they know to
it
look
starts
for
with
adoption,
awareness.
And empathy.
Yeah.
I think that's it. You know, we can be aware, but to know that these guys, they have lives, they have personalities, they are no worse than we are. And we just, but they can't speak for themselves. They don't have money. They don't have lawyers. They have us, you know, and that becomes what's turned out to be my life.
Yeah.
Who would have thought, you know?
It's awesome too, seeing with like social media and stuff like that, like a lot of people who are promoting, you know, TNR work and all that stuff. Yeah. There's, I'm trying to think. So I Am Mosho, we got him who's out there talking about great stuff. And then Sterling Trap King. He's actually to be coming on the podcast later this year. But there's tons of people out there doing incredible work.
Like, I'm gonna segue it in. You have some of those people as keynote speakers at Cat Camp.
Yeah, nice segue.
Oh,
nice.
This is why he's here.
Can you tell us about Cat Camp?
And you know, unfortunately, you know, we the kibosh got put on Cat Camp, obviously last year, along with the rest of our lives. Otherwise, we'd be in New York with you guys. And we were scheduled to do San Diego. We did Vegas the year before. So Cat Camp was starting to expand out of New York, and we had to shut down. But then Christina Ha, who's our founder and the owner of Meow Parlor in New York.
I walked by Meow Parlor and it looks
gotta go in, man.
There. Yeah. It's like right off the Williamsburg Meow Parlor, Bridge.
Meow Parlor is actually the, I think it's one of, if not the first, cat
it was
cafe
the first one.
It was the first one
in the States. Can you believe that? So, anyway, we had sort of a heart to heart about it and tried to say, you know, is it worth trying to make this pivot to the virtual, event, which, you know, they weren't getting much traction up until that point. But we decided to do it. We did our first one, and the response was ginormous. So we did it again for the holidays. Again, we had great response. And of course, our camp counselors come from all over the cat world, and they were amazing. And we're doing it again. And that is on April 10th. And it's going to be our Spring Forward event. So the idea is, no matter where you are in the cat spectrum, whether you're just cat curious or you've got a few cats or you're interested in helping your community or foster or any of those things, we're going to have stuff for you, plus a lot of fun stuff. We just nailed down this one guest who's coming in to teach us all about creating cat gardens in our homes and what's healthy for our cats, what's toxic. And she said something to me while we were interviewing her the other day. Her name is April. And she said, and I'm going to teach you guys that you can actually have cut flowers in your house again if you have cats. And I was like, really?
Wait, what? You know? No, wait, I want to hear
like,
about that.
Wait, what? Yeah, exactly.
What
like,
do you mean?
I can have flowers?
You got to tune in.
Yeah. That's revolutionary.
So, yeah, no, that's just one of our things. And let me just tell you, this is one of the most important things. Not only is it a full day of fun, not only will you learn and be educated and laugh together as a community, it's interactive and it's free.
There's the kicker.
That's the sell point right there.
Thank you so much. The Petco Foundation has made it possible for us to do this entire thing for free. It pays for us and our guests and the rather large undertaking digitally to get this done. And that's it. All you got to be is curious or love cats, and it's you and people from all over the planet coming together to celebrate. So
yeah, it's
join us
huge,
on the 10th.
It's a huge event. I mean, we're going to put links in the description everywhere. It's the whole day.
Yeah.
You know, you have a schedule. I see on the website, catcamp.com, you have the entire schedule laid out.
Yeah.
You know who's speaking at what time. You can join in. It's hosted through YouTube. Am I right?
We host it actually on our own site, but it is broadcast also on YouTube and on Facebook. Cool. And I was going to say, even though it is free, please do register. Not only are you eligible for some seriously cool prizes, and including a private consult with me, which is not the best. We got better prizes. also, we will be having limited admission events that only if you're registered will you know about them. So,
it's a few all that will away. Be in the show notes. So when this is going live, it's going to be tomorrow. So if you're listening right now, click the link right now, add it to your calendar, make sure you are tuning in tomorrow.
Also register at catcam.com.
Yes.
So you don't miss the
Please
events.
Do.
Yeah. And it's my birthday today. The time
technically it's his birthday.
The time that the episode in the comes
birthday.
Out in the future. So I will definitely be joining in because obviously I told you my girlfriend loves cats, and she also had one question for you.
Okay.
How
she actually had two.
No, I'm going to ask just the
no
one.
No way I get away with that one.
I'm going to ask just the one. How does she know that Kevin, our cat, loves her?
You know what's really interesting is I will be putting out a video. By the time most of the audience will see, there's a video coming out next week saying five surefire ways to get your cat to love you. So if he doesn't already, then, you know.
He's just a very hard-to-read cat. That's the thing.
You know, here's the thing. If he chooses to be... I mean, he might not be the cuddly cat who you can pick up and swaddle and do whatever, but his proximity to you is important. The fact that you can walk by him and he, you know, his body language just shows relaxation as opposed to stiffening up.
He loves you guys. That's
it. Yeah, I think he loves us.
Yeah.
With those two, that's... I can do whatever. Like I can pick him up, put my face right up to his. He'll just rub
he's
up.
Like silly putty. This
he's
cat.
Just
like,
very
just hold him like
he's
that.
Very neutral.
I was playing it safe. I was playing it safe. I just kind of figured that there could be an interpretation that he hated you. But if you can smush on him, then yeah, you probably got it down. I mean, the thing is that with cats, everything is about trust. We think about them in terms of being. It, from an evolutionary standpoint, and I hold firm to this, I don't think they're really domestic animals yet.
Right.
And they are smack in the middle of the food chain.
Yeah.
They have to be on the hunt, and they also have to worry about being predated upon. So the ability to be picked up, to know that they're safe, to be belly up in the world, those kind of things, that's just like, that's love, man. That's love.
So, Juliet, you heard it first from the expert. Kevin loves you.
I think because he's not very reactive.
No.
He will not react to you doing, like he will purr, he will rub up against you, but he's just very nonchalant about everything. So that's why she gets the sense that he doesn't love
I want to, I'll tell you a quick story that right now we have a lot of animals, but we have a feral kitten in the, in our bathroom. We're trying to socialize her. And and part of what we had to do was separate her from her sister because her sister was doing well and can go to another foster home and have a bigger experience. But she was very scared. Only in the past couple of days, I will sit with her. I'll do nothing. I'll just read a book or do whatever. And the other night, she just walked up and just rubbed her body on my leg. God. So that alone, when you think about that, that was the first expression of something besides, I'm not going to run away from you or hiss or do whatever. She just walked up and just gently on my leg. Now, of course, I reached my hand down and she headed
like,
for the
nope.
hills.
Too soon.
Nope, too far. Yeah, too soon. But that is something also you can tell Juliet that it's that. It's the body marking. It's like my scent and your scent. We belong together here. Yeah, right. You know, that kind of thing.
I see that that's one of your steps in the process. In every episode, you need that one-on-one time where you just walk in the room and do nothing, you know, like just be around.
Stop trying so hard. Remember that when if there's a group of strangers in a room and a cat, the cat's gonna go to the people who are either afraid of them or allergic to them or hate them because they're not trying, they're keeping to themselves. And cats like that. They want to be the one. They want to do it on their terms.
Right.
So, you know, stop going for the pets, and you'll win faster.
Don't try so hard. Play hard to get.
Don't try so hard.
Is that the motto of the entire podcast? Don't try too hard.
Don't try so hard,
you guys. And that goes for everybody everywhere. I know we want to. I know we're starting to come out of this specter here of pandemic, but I think we all. Had this, we're like, okay, ready, let's go.
Now.
So yeah.
So before we wrap up, Jackson, I would love to know, obviously you've got a huge platform and you get to inform lots of people, but for our listeners, what do you think, one, what's the biggest piece of advice you'd give to cat owners? And then what is the biggest misconception about cats that you'd like to help dispel?
I mean, I think, you know, one of the biggest things I'll tell cat people is exactly what I just told you guys. Just, you know, realize that it's a relationship. And as such, more so than dogs, for sure, you have to be ready to compromise a little bit. You have to be ready to meet them at the communicative fence instead of expecting them to come to you. That's the nature of having a cat. And it's worth it. It's worth it. The payoffs are huge, but imposing your will on a cat will never work. And I think that that's the thing. It's relationship. They're family. Learn them the way you would learn anybody in a relationship. Be okay being vulnerable to them. You know, that's the way it goes. So that's number one. And number two, leading off of that, is cats aren't dogs, man. I mean, we see cats through dog-colored glasses. Their successes and their failures seem to have to measure up to what dogs do. Other than having four legs and fur, man, they're different. They're different species.
In every way.
And, you know, it's like, what if we had, I don't know, domesticated sheep? And so the sheep would be in our house. Would we compare sheep and dogs?
My sheep acts like a dog.
Yeah, exactly. Or my sheep doesn't love me because she doesn't lick my face and wait at the door like, you know.
My sheep doesn't want to cuddle in the bed.
That's a good point.
Man, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's why you'll see all. And I think that the news has been very guilty of this idea, like, proof your cat hates you, or, you know, science now. You know,
your cat doesn't care about you.
Your cat doesn't care. They'll eat you in your sleep. You know, those kind of things, as opposed to giving them their due based on their own merits. And I think that all you need to do, and this is why I wrote my last book, Total Cat Mojo, was about that arc of understanding the journey of all cats and how that applies to your cat. And how the relationship between the two of you depends on that knowledge. And if you just spend a little bit of time getting to know all of them and getting to know yours, it's really limitless in terms of what you can get out of it.
Like you said, taking that extra time, it's just, you know, it's such a bigger payoff at the end.
Right. And that's the thing, I ask everyone to remember. It's not just an act of giving, 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 giving. So many of my clients, and you've seen them on my show, are like, I put a roof over your head and I feed you every day and I scoop your crap out of a box and this is what I get in return.
Why don't you love me?
Yeah, why don't you love me enough? Why don't you show me, you know? And I just think that there are rewards. And by the way, I am 1,000%, as you can tell, 1,000% bipetual, man. I love dogs as much as I love cats. That you get that yin yang out of them that is so complimentary and so beautiful to have in your life. I like coming home and having someone drool all over me because I'm home. That's great. And the cats, like, you know, they run past the cats. The cats are like, oh, get away. You know? But then my dog doesn't sit on my chest at night and purr. So there's that, you know? So yeah, it's worth it for everybody. Just take a little bit of extra time. Enjoy the mystery, you know? Not everything in life needs to be served up on a silver platter.
That's a quote. Enjoy the mystery.
Enjoy the mystery.
Well, yeah, cats are mysterious. They're on their own thing. They're on their own spectrum.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly right.
So you can find Jackson. Let's see if I can get this from memory. YouTube.com/JacksonGalaxy. Facebook.com/JacksonGalaxy. Twitter.com/JacksonGalaxy. Instagram.com/TheCatDaddy.
There you go, man.
I am thoroughly impressed.
Well, yeah, I just have to remember the three are the same.
I was panicking. I wasn't sure if you could remember the cat daddy or not at the end.
And do not forget catcamp.com.
Catcamp.com. Register.
Don't forget
April
10th. Register. Yep. And hopefully we'll see you guys there.
Oh, you'll see.
Oh, we'll
there.
Definitely
Wait,
be there.
Is it like two-way feed, or maybe I can get in the comments?
No, it's psychic. I'll know. I'll know.
You'll know if I'm there.
We'll be thinking of you.
And hopefully you guys very soon, we will be back in New York live with an event. Can't wait to do that also.
We would love to do that.
We watched the highlight reel from the 2019 one. It looked like a blast.
Yeah.
It was. It's totally a blast. And I got to be honest. I mean, I'm about to turn 55 in April. I have never been away from... Yeah.
You don't look it, man.
Well, I'm glad to hear. Thank you. I've never been away from New York for this long. It's been a year.
Oh, wow.
Never in my 55 years have I been away from New York for this long, and I'm dying.
All right, when you come back, maybe you'll be sitting where this green screen is.
In replacement of the green screen.
I will. I'll be back there like this.
Yeah. Well, New York is here and ready for you. Thank you, Jackson. Thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Say hi to Brooklyn.
We will.